Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be discussing a subject that I think everybody's interested in. What is that subject? It's healing. If you've ever gone through surgery, if you have ever been afflicted with ailments and you just say, I just don't know what to do, I've tried everything, well, maybe not. My guest today is Dorothea Hoover Kramer. She has a brand new book out called Healing Touch, Essential Energy Medicine for Yourself and for Others. Dorothea, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Well, it's a delight to have you. You're a woman of many accomplishments. You have, well, you're the founding elder of Healing Touch and a co-founder of the International Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. So we're coming forward in the world with acceptance from the medical community on many levels.
Right.
You have written a number of books. Dorothea, you have had such powerful experiences all of your life. And I remember when you were my guest at the Women's Show a couple of years ago, and you shared with the audience how you became aware of how you could read energy around people. You were in Germany. Would you share that story with my listeners?
Oh, just very briefly, yes. I grew up in World War II, and I was 5 years old when my mother died, and the war ended. Both happened pretty much simultaneously. So I was in Berlin, and alone, well, I had siblings, but they were all very occupied with other things. I felt I should have a caregiver of some kind, and my sister, who was about 20 at the time, said sort of offhandedly, well, why don't you go out there and see if there's somebody out on the street that would like to help you out? So she was not thinking I would follow up on it. So I went out, and I saw all these refugees coming from the east into Berlin, and we were living in a fairly nice suburb, and just the streets were just packed with people with suitcases and all levels of pain and distress. And I kept thinking, well, there's somebody there who wants to take care of me. And I saw this woman. She seemed to have sort of a light around her head, and she stopped right near the gate where I was standing. I was inside the garden gate, and I just asked her if she knew how to make potato pancakes. That was my favorite food, and I hadn't had that for quite a while. And she said, oh, yeah. And I could tell she was liking me, and I said, well, do you like children? And she said, oh, yeah. I didn't find out till quite a bit later that she really didn't speak much German at all. But I ran into my sister and said, you know, this lady out here wants to help me. And she likes children, and she knows how to make potato pancakes. My sister was just wide-eyed. And in she came, and she really was the ideal caregiver for us for the post-war years, because she knew how to negotiate the black market. She knew enough Russian to keep the Russian soldiers from bothering us. And in hindsight, it occurred to me that I noticed something about her that was different from the other refugees. Mm-hmm. And I began to notice that more consciously, of course, as I matured, and especially when I started my studies in nursing and holistic health and psychology. And I began to notice when I went to conferences, for instance, that I could pick out the people that had sort of a light around them. And they were usually the people that were the most interesting, the most accomplished, and the most willing to be approached. And this has served me extremely well, and I began to study how energy is a reality. We are energy fields, as a matter of fact. We are emotional, physical, mental and spiritual beings, and some of who are, our inner essence actually shines out as we meet other people. If we're distressed or depressed or in some way compromised, that also shows. And in, at some level, other people pick up on that, whether they're conscious of it being light or not. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a very interesting thing that has really served me well, and certainly in those dark days in Berlin, it was a lifesaver to find this lovely lady.
Well, the reason I wanted you to share your story is mm-hmm. because it has been my experience that when we are children, mm-hmm. we are so open. We don't
yes.
put labels on whatever we do. We just do it. We just mm-hmm. are it, whether it is seeing energy, whether it is like one lady that I knew when I first started in the work of mind, one lady that I knew, she was in her 70s, and I was just in my 20s, and she looked at me and she said, can you explain certain things to me? And what did I know? I didn't know anything. And her stories were just mesmerizing. But from the time she was 5 years old, hmm. she could see things. And she, her mother just had a fit because she said, oh, this is awful. You're seeing things and they're coming true. No, this is awful. And she was really horrible to her. But the thing is, you were able to progress as an individual. And as an adult, you didn't, you never really said to yourself, no, this is, nobody really said it to you. You just sort of flowed with these experiences you had. Now, you, in this book, The Healing Touch,
yeah.
you are really, really down to earth with it. And you wrote this book because you wanted people to know that they have access to this healing energy. And, of course, you've been very much involved in teaching this process to people for years. And I was thrilled to find out that in 2007, at least 100 hospitals, now there's thousands of them, but at least 100 mm-hmm. have your Healing Touch program. And there's 86,000 nurses or healthcare professionals that have gone through the training with Healing Touch. And
right.
they have been given credit for it, and they use it on a daily basis. This is exciting because it means that we have a breakthrough, Dorothea,
yes.
that I think is just absolutely, absolutely awesome. And Cindy Dale wrote a beautiful foreword to your book, and you have a quote right at the beginning of your introduction. It says, there's a quiet light that shines in every heart. It mm-hmm. is what illuminates our minds to see beauty, our desire to seek possibility, and our hearts to love life.
Yeah.
John O'Donohue was the poet that
yes,
you quoted
yes.
there. Let's talk about healing touch, therapeutic touch. How did you discover to put together what evolved so that you could teach other people to do this?
Very briefly, of course, therapeutic touch was researched by Dr. Dolores Krieger at New York University in the 60s and became a modality in healthcare in the early 70s. So it was very exciting to me to learn that there actually was an energy-based modality being taught in hospitals and to nursing students. In the late 80s, when I helped to start the Healing Touch program with Janet Mentkin at the helm through the American Holistic Nurses Association, we decided to bring in some of the work of other healers, Rosalind Bruyere, Brew Joy, Barbara Brennan, etc. So we came up with a course that was slightly different from Dr. Krieger's course, but that we wanted to make available to the general public. And that course has been very steady and firm since 1989. The direction now, 23 years later, of the Healing Touch program, which is worldwide and has over 4,000 accredited practitioners, has just spread this caring light to many professionals, not just nurses. We have many people who are in the computer sciences and want a more human touch in their lives. We mm-hmm. have many practitioners who are skilled in the other social sciences, such as medicine, physical therapy, massage, clergymen, etc. So there are many walks of life represented now in Healing Touch, and through the initial support of the American Holistic Nurses Association, it became a large nationwide program quite early on and has been growing ever since. One of the real accomplishments of the Healing Touch program is that they are the only energy medicine modality currently that is nationally accredited because they have a standardized training curriculum, and they have worked very hard to achieve certification by the National Commission for Certifying Agencies and American Nurses Credentialing Center. So those two accreditations are huge in the way of recognition of the Healing Touch program and allow practitioners to really have a very valid and solid credential. Many courses have grown up in addition to the basic training for the practitioners, so that there are specialty areas like working with trauma, working with self-care, working with children, working with elderly, etc. So mm-hmm. it's been an exciting dynamic to watch this organization grow and really do its homework in terms of practitioner ethics, practitioner solidarity and support, and ongoing growth and development.
You have a wonderful story about a dad. His name was Ben, who had learned the Healing Touch technique. And his wife, Sally, was getting ready to have a baby. She has the baby. Everything was just going along wonderfully until they get home, because the baby, which was a little girl, was just so agitated. And being a new dad, seeing his wife interacting with the baby, he was so concerned about this. But the baby wasn't doing any better. And he then goes to his wife and he says, "Would you like me to use some Healing Touch that I've learned with the baby?" And she sat down with the child, who was just crying and just so terribly uncomfortable. And he said he approached the baby with his hands, didn't touch the baby, just went into her energy field. And he said she let out a little squeak. And then that was it. She was fine. And it was quiet. And he said it just amazed him. And then he said he brushed and held his baby's field for a few more minutes. And it was so bonding for all three of them, the wife, the husband, and their newborn. And that is such a moving, moving story. Also, something that you bring out in the book is how, just historically, you gave a listing here, 5,000 B.C., a brief history of healing. I have an earache. I go to the village healer who gives me an herbal tea, holds his hand over my ear, and I feel better. 1870 A.D., I have an earache. I'm advised to go to a surgeon who drains out the infection. I feel a lot of pain, but later the ear is better. 2011, and I'm skipping a few periods in between, I have an earache, but the bacteria are resistant to antibiotics. I'm instructed to see an herbalist who gives me herbs and teas. I also see a therapist who releases emotional issues related to the earache. I consult with an energy medicine practitioner who passes her hands over my ear and body. I feel much better and also gain new insights about preventing future earaches. And this came from some anonymous note, and I just had to chuckle because, you know, I remember, Dorothea, when my husband and I went to Russia in 1992, people in various areas of the former Soviet Union didn't want to go to see doctors or hospitals because they said, "You're not going to come out alive. Or if you do go in, it's going to be coming out worse." And I thought, my goodness, this sounds like the barbershop special, just the attitude that the people had about doing this. And here we are going in our time frame full circle back into working with energy which the shamans of old and various people of old worked with. Now, this isn't to decredit at all or take away from what we have gained in understanding about surgery and the knowledge of the body, et cetera. But there are so many things that people are saying, it's not working. I can't afford XYZ, or it makes me sick if I take it. And so now 80% of the American population are using one or more complementary modalities to find not just physical relief, but also psychological relief. We really have come full circle, haven't we?
Right. It is a very exciting shift that has happened in the last, I would say the last 30 years, that people mm-hmm. are realizing there's much more to us than just the physical body. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have things like healing touch in, you mentioned the story of Ben and his wife, Sally. We have healing touch in intensive care units and hospitals, but we also have healing touch in prenatal classes mm-hmm. because just giving somebody medications isn't going to ensure a happy birth experience. It really helps when the husband and wife work together as a team. They know what to do. The husband knows how to help the wife to relax with healing touch gestures, and the wife has that bonding with her partner or family member that is also learning healing touch, and then the carryover into family life, which is to me very exciting, that healing touch is really for everyone. It's available. It doesn't require gadgets. It doesn't have invasive medication, but it does teach us to go deeper into our soul levels and to help each other from the level of compassion.
In your book, you have a statement, energetic disruptions often precede physical illness, and a noted change can help to identify very early stages of a disease process. A Tibetan Lama, I remember reading his writings 30-plus years ago, and he spoke of the very same thing. In Tibet, the medical Lamas were trained about this, and they would be able to look at a person. Of course, in their culture, they didn't have hang-ups with nudity like we have here, but they would be able to look at someone without their clothes, and they would be able to read the energy frequencies. And if there was something that was, let's say, affecting the liver, or there was in the energetic field that awareness that something was in the works, they then would use whatever was possibly available to them to make a correction. And that's not 100% for everything, but they could see patterns. And this was something they believed in very, very strongly, and they would use it in their medical practices. And this is what healing touch is doing, because you have your diagrams, not just of the chakras, but also of the fields of energy, because that's what we are, and how they radiate information.
Exactly. We are electromagnetic beings, and with modern science, we actually have very good basis for understanding what the Tibetan Lamas saw, as you just described. You know, there actually are electrical changes in the biofield, in the field that surrounds the physical body, that can be measured and assessed long before physical illness becomes a reality. The current use of these concepts in Western medicine is quite dramatic, in that many interventions are energetic in nature, for instance, laser surgery or sound therapies that break up kidney stones and gallstones. And certainly, the diagnostic measurements that are currently going on are very energetic rather than physical. We no longer open people's brains, for instance, to find whether there's a tumor. We do an MRI. Mm-hmm. An MRI is a computerized picture of how energy moves in a certain portion of the brain or another body organ. It is an energetic technique. that actually measures the electrical and magnetic fluctuations within an organ and its variability from what normal flow of energy would be compared to the pathological pattern. So Western medicine is fast becoming energy medicine.
Yes, it is. I think it's definitely there. And there's still a lot of resistance, but I think the more educated people become and the more they become involved in it, the more that there is going to be an understanding that those in the medical profession are going to need to leave behind a lot of the myths that have been perpetuated for so long and coming into the education and understanding of what's really working. And I think that's where the younger generation is really coming forth strongly. One of the significant tests.
Yeah, I was just going to say, people want to be well. They don't just want to wait till they get sick and then get something removed or be treated chemically. They want to know how to stay well. And Healing Touch is one of those methods that is excellent for personal self-care. And I spend quite a bit of time on that in the book, and I hope that your listeners will also consider their own self-care as a priority in achieving wellness, high-level wellness.
One of the people you mentioned in your book, there's two points I want to bring out. Number one, when it was used in the hospitals, when they used Healing Touch in the hospitals, patients did better post-operatively. They had a reduced length of hospital stay by almost a day. And the hospital administration said that it was a cumulative savings of more than $500,000 to the medical facility. Also, Janet Quinn, who was a PhD and she also was an RN, she had been involved in therapeutic touch very early on. She did a pilot study in 1993 involving the energy healing practitioners who had been working with Healing Touch for 10 years or more. And she said that the people that were involved with working with this lived longer and had a far better quality of life than their counterparts, nurses and other medical personnel in typical medical surgical settings. Now, that is a powerful statement. That's a wonderful statement. So anyone could benefit from this, anyone. Now, let's talk about self-care, healing. Let's talk about a technique someone could use, Dorothea. Which one would you choose to share with my audience? So if they want, now they need to get your book, The Healing Touch. There's no question about that, so they can get into more detail with it. But let's let my listeners know what a simple technique is that they themselves could use.
All right. Well, one of my very favorites is to work with the heart center. Most of us experience the physical heart as producing our blood flow and synchronicity with electrical, is a slight electrical charge to get the heartbeat going. And but it also has an emotional factor. So I like very much to have the heartfelt sensitivities augmented by touching the heart when we're in distress, and putting the hands, for instance, over the mid-chest area, and gently use soothing motions toward the left, which would be clockwise, thinking of the body as a clockwise direction. So the heart center, where we often feel emotional distress, sadness, grief, pressure, tension, etc., deserves our nurturing care. So I like to ask people to take their hands to the heart center with a gentle, loving touch and a gentle movement toward the left shoulder, and then to add an affirmation, something that brings you to a place of more peacefulness, such as, even though this distressing event happened, say there's a someone didn't treat you well, or someone spoke negatively, treat that both physically, because you're working with the physical heart and the area of the thymus gland, as well as emotionally, by saying, even though this distressing event or this distressing word came out, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Nice deep breaths, and I'm learning to find my healing path. It is a gentle process that deals with the reality of distress, which we all feel. It deals with the reality of the heart chakra, which is well understood in healing touch practice. And it brings in a mental mantra that can be used repeatedly to calm the mind and strengthen our sense of purpose. Even though this has happened, or even though I feel unhappy, distressed, whatever, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself and understand that I'm on a healing path, a path toward increasing wellness and wholeness.
Dorothea, thank you very much for that. One of the biggest benefits is pain relief. And that is something I was just talking to someone before I came on the show, and they were telling me about a friend of theirs saying, oh, this person is going in for acupuncture. They're just having so much back pain. And it is an interesting situation. This person cannot have back surgery. And I thought, boy, they need to know about this therapeutic healing touch. Do you have something? Let's say someone was experiencing a discomfort in their right elbow. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, oh, I've had this stuff and I've been working on the computer a lot. Man, it just isn't going to go away. Is there a magnetic pass? What would you recommend for someone that might have something like this? And by the way, folks, she's got a lot of the pictures in her book, too. So there's a lot of information in Dorothea Kramer's book, The Healing Touch. But what would you recommend to anyone who's listening today if they had an area like their knee or the back? What could they do?
Sure. Well, for the person who's having the pain, the most important thing is some kind of centering, some kind of coming to peace. And for people who are really in pain, that's very difficult, and that's why I recommend an interaction with someone who knows healing touch. You know, if a person's in severe pain, I would be remiss to say, yes, you can do this yourself. Mm-hmm. I would suggest, even if a healing touch practitioner is nearby, that the person take the medication they usually take for pain relief, because the pain medication seems to become even more effective with the presence of healing touch. And then the movement usually is a smoothing of the energy field. We call it magnetic passes from above the painful area to below. If the pain is fairly minor, you might try self-care, similar to what I've described, working with the painful joint by just a gentle smoothing above the painful area, not touching the painful area or manipulating it, but rather just in the field above, an inch or so above the painful area, with gentle strokes from above to below, and releasing any left energy or distress to the earth to be healed and cleansed. So it's an image of movement to release, and might add a gentle touch or warmth to the painful area. I certainly encourage self-care, but that would be with early stages. For instance, early stages of headaches usually respond very well to energetic interventions. Later stages, I think the help of medication is a very good idea. I wouldn't want to have anyone go cold turkey on their medication, but I would encourage that kind of downward smoothing movement to assist the medication to go exactly where it needs to go and to facilitate that sense of calming and peacefulness. And again, yes, the heart affirmation I gave might also be useful.
Dorothea, I know we're just about out of time. What is your website where people can go to find out more about the Healing Touch, and perhaps if they're interested in learning about doing it and maybe becoming a practitioner themselves, or if they just like to learn it so that they could help themselves and loved ones? Where's your website?
Yes. Well, my personal website is called HealingTouchBook.com. Just HealingTouchBook.com. The website of the wonderful international association is HealingTouchProgram.com. And with that, people can access the Healing Touch Program newsletter, which is wonderful. It's actually more than a newsletter. It's a magazine, an online magazine that's free. They just can subscribe by going to that website, HealingTouchProgram.com. They can also get a lot of information about the classes, about the networks, about upcoming conferences, both regional and national, the international programs that are currently happening, and all the many current events in the association. So I encourage both websites.
Dorothea Kramer is actually, her full name is Dorothea Hover Kramer.
Kramer, yes.
Yeah, and her book, The Healing Touch, Essential Energy Medicine for Yourself and Others, it is packed with good information, and it's written in a layperson's language. If you'd like to have this in your library, I think it's a good addition, and it's something I would say read for yourself first, and then investigate more about Dorothea. HealingTouchBook.com is her website, or HealingTouchProgram.com about the Healing Touch program itself. Dorothea Hover Kramer, I have been delighted to have you as a guest again. Keep up your great work, and I look forward to your next book.
All right. Thank you so much, Donna.
It's my pleasure. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. So delighted you're able to join me today. If you'd like to chat with me, all you need to do is give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'll just need your first name or initial, and then after that, just relax. I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that is of concern to you. So that's 888-627-6008. Edgar Mitchell, who is well known as an astronaut, made the statement, "We are explorers and the most compelling frontier of our time is human consciousness." Let me repeat that. We are explorers and the most compelling frontier of our time is human consciousness. And that is so true. When you look back at history, if ever you have a chance just to check out certain time frames, you look at the Dark Ages, the Inquisition, you look at so many different things that have gone on in different countries around the world at different times, to the best of our awareness at this particular point, and you just go, good grief, we've come a long way, baby. Mm-hmm, yes, we have. And it is amazing because somewhere, someone had to have certain information that they acquired, that they passed along. And typically in human history, there is a real resistance to additional knowledge. Last night I was watching on television, and perhaps some of you even saw the program on DNA, and how there's a lot of conversation about privacy relative to DNA, people having a choice about whether or not they want to know about their DNA codes, because many times there are genetic markers that they are learning that they can alter to correct some physiological situations. And the program was very, very meaningful because it did an outstanding job, in my estimation, of presenting the positive and the negative of what programming, doing things right away when a baby's born, finding out what is its positives and its negatives and classifying everything about that and the good side of it and the downside of it. The lack of privacy, chips being put in the body, all kinds of things that are being talked about now that sounded like sci-fi 20 years ago. And here we are in this world that is moving forward with technology at such a phenomenal rate, and we're having the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's absolutely fascinating. So make sure you pay attention to what's going on to the greatest of your capacity. You don't need to sit and watch the news until you become so depressed that you feel like life is just absolutely worth nothing, because that's only a smidgen of what's going on. But it really is a fascinating world we're living in. And I want to welcome our first caller. This will show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is JL, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
From Brooklyn. I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be there the end of this month.
Oh.
So I hope your weather is nice. I'm sorry, dear. Give me your name one more time.
JL.
Oh, JL, good. I didn't quite get it. Okay, JL, the first thing I am looking at is back away from what appears to be a discussion of opinions, and someone is, it looks like there's a group of you, it might be three or four of you sitting around, and you seem to be visiting, it looks like it's a social situation, and there is one person that is putting out their opinion, and you're wanting to respond, and they're verbally just running right over you. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that's rather rude. They're giving out their opinion, but they don't want to listen to anybody else's. Bingo. You've got it. This is a person that is venting. They actually are not really thinking very much about what they're saying. They're parroting somebody else's opinion. If you're wise, you'll listen very carefully to what they're saying. You will have your opportunity to speak, and if they start to try to run over you, just put your hand up in a way that just give me a minute, like putting up your hand and one finger and saying, that's just a minute. And then all of a sudden they'll stop. And then comment on what you feel you need to make a statement about, but don't let them verbally run over you. Just say, it's my turn. You had your moment. This is a person that's very needy. This is a person that wants to be in the front of everybody. This is a person that wants to occupy center stage. I think they're really a very immature actress. I think it is a woman. And I really feel like if you're attentive, you don't need to feel put down. I wouldn't even let my emotional button get pushed. I'd just smile to myself and say, I'm going to have my moment, and keep in mind what it is that you want to make a comment about, and you'll be able to make that comment. And the other people sitting with you are going to really appreciate that because they don't quite know what to do with this individual. So just be aware it's not rude to say what you want to say. You can say it in a very, very you way that this person may get a little put out because you've sort of gone against it, but not really. They're not really thinking about what they're saying. They're just acting out. So be appreciative of yourself and don't back down just because someone is really pushy. Also, what I wanted to tell you is that there's some traveling coming up for you. And with this travel, there may be a bit of sadness. It could be that you will not see a particular individual again. They may be getting close to passing on. But I think that the trip can be very, very meaningful. And if you plan things to a degree, don't try to do it 100%, but sort of go with the flow, I think you're going to find you enjoy the trip more than you could have anticipated. But there will be a touch of sadness with it, because of the awareness that you may not be seeing someone or be in a certain environment again because they are going to be passing on. But that's life. We're all going to experience that at one time or another. But you have a very good trip otherwise. Do you have a question for me?
I guess my first question is, whoever that's passing on, is that person an older person?
Yes. This is an older individual. This is not a younger person. This is an older individual. And I'm seeing them being honored and respected at some event. So I don't know if it is a birthday party, an anniversary party, but they are being acknowledged by a lot of people. So I think the timing on it, I think there is a sense on the part of a lot of people that this individual's time is rather short. So it's just a closure that I'm looking at. And this person is going to be well-liked by many.
Okay. My real question is, I want to know if I'm going to get into the speech program that I apply for. I applied for several schools. I got called for some interviews, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get into any of them.
Well, I disagree. I think there's going to be two that are going to be interested in you. What did you want your major to be?
Speech therapy.
Oh, speech therapy. Okay. So I do think that there are going to be two schools that will be interested in you. Yes. So
and
I wouldn't worry about that.
I will be hearing from them?
I think so.
Okay.
And I would just continue to move forward. If there are any auxiliary classes that you could take before you actually are able to start into a school, anything that will complement your environment of interest in the way of knowledge and working experience, I think is going to be a tremendous blessing for you. So I would just keep on putting out the applications and put yourself in a situation where maybe you're going to be able to work in an environment relative to speech therapy, even if you're just doing volunteer work, and it's going to all fall into place.
Do you see me in school by September, probably?
You're going to be going in for some classes. Yes, dear, you're going to have some classes. Most definitely you'll have classes. So don't sweat the small stuff. That's what I would say to you today. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just go forward, expect that you're going to be accepted. Just keep on moving towards your objective. You're going to reach it.
Okay. Thank you so
much. I'm going to have to go, JL. It's time for break.
Okay. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you, dear. I appreciate your call. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, I want to mention to you two things. Number one, new show time, May the 1st. The Donna Sebo Show is shifting to 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. If you're in New York, it's going to be noon. If you're in Central, it's going to be 11 a.m. And if you're in Mountain Time, it'll be 10 a.m. And wherever else you are in the world, you'll just have to adjust accordingly. But again, I'm moving on May the 1st to a new time slot, 9 a.m. Also, my class, Quantum Mind 3, is coming up. It's a week from tomorrow. This class is dynamic. Each and every one of the Quantum Mind classes have been very, very different, very much their own subject matter all by themselves. So what I want to let you know is that this one is dealing with Chinese medicine. Robert Newman is going to be presenting the first part of the program on Chinese medicine. The second part of the program I will be presenting, it's going to be regarding dreams, how to use them as a tool, what is their value. Also, we are going to be doing mind exercises. We're going to be doing billet readings. We're going to be doing various things. This class is very interactive. And if you or a friend would like to join us, we're only taking 25 students. Call me at my office, 253-582-5604. The class begins at 10 in the morning on Saturday, April the 14th. We'll finish about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch is included, and it's only $59.95 or $69.95 at the door. So do give me a call, 253-582-5604. Donna Sebo here. And if you want to give me a call and chat with me right here live on the Donna Sebo Show, call 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Next week, we have a dynamic lineup. Of course, for those of you that are regular listeners to the show, you know how much I enjoy an eclectic subject matter. Well, next week is not any different. One, we're going to be talking about Kids Beyond Limits, Annette Bunnell. This is a woman who has worked with children with learning disabilities, various physiological conditions, and has turned them around in a fascinating way. She is just amazing and a very caring person, so she's going to be on Monday. Tuesday, we're going to be talking about reshaping reality with Robin Marvel. On Wednesday, we'll be talking with Sunny Dawn Johnson about invoking the archangels. Science and Psychic Phenomena on Thursday with Chris Carter. Animal Teachings, Dawn Bunke. We've just got so many interesting people on this planet and so much good information that's out there. I'm so delighted I'm able to bring it to you. So just keep in mind, check the show information button right on BBS, and you'll find out who all is coming on and a little bit about them. Okay, let me share a story with you. I am a softie when it comes to animal stories, and I've got a picture of a little beagle. And, of course, if you've ever been around a beagle, you just they just melt your heart. They've got the most beautiful, beautiful golden brown eyes, and they're just sweeties. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a wonderful, wonderful beagle mix dog named Molly. Now, this story is Molly's story, but it's also about, well, a woman by the name of Sally. Now, Sally was a mature lady, and she had retired. How many people look at that point in their life saying, oh, when I retire, there's so many things I'm going to do? Well, instead of finding retirement valuable, Sally started developing some very, very bad habits. She'd stay in her pajamas all day long, and she wasn't feeling good. She had a few health issues. In fact, that's actually what caused her to retire a little bit earlier than what she had originally planned. But it was just, she just couldn't get into the groove. I mean, let's face it. When you have been working most of your life, you have an alarm clock that goes off at a certain time, you've got your regimen, your routine, and then it's not there anymore. What are you going to do? Well, she was finding she was so bored. She just didn't know what to do. She was a zombie. She couldn't even get herself dressed by dinner time. That's right. Well, her husband one day said to her, you know what? We're going to get a dog. Now, her dog, she had had a dog, and her dog had died the year before she retired. And she didn't think that she wanted to have another dog. It was just too much heartache. But her husband said, we are going to get a dog. Well, because they were somewhat on a budget, they go down to their local shelter. And they came home with this adorable dog that they named Sally. Now, she was a beagle doxy mix. So you know she's just absolutely a sweetheart. Well, when she got up the next morning, guess who was giving her all kinds of attentions? Yep, you've got it. Little Miss Sally, that wonderful beagle doxy mix. And she was just all about Sally. She just said, okay, this is it. Okay, so she had to feed her. She had to bathe her. She started a daily routine of walks. You got it. She got active. And she said, it was a funny thing. My energy returned. I started cleaning my house. I started cooking meals. I got into my writing, got back into my artwork. And she said, I started interacting with my friends again. And she said, what's best is my husband isn't coming home and finding me in my pajamas. She said, I really realized that little Sally, this wonderful dog, gave me back a reason for living. And she's so grateful this little person came into her life. So her husband, when he comes home now, when he walks in the house, he says, hi, girls. He's got two lovely ladies in his life. Sally, the little beagle doxy mix, and Molly. No, Sally's not the dog. Excuse me. I turned the names around. It's Friday, folks. Molly is the dog, and Sally is the owner. This is Donna Sebo. Have an absolutely magnificent weekend, and if you're celebrating the Easter holiday, may it be a joyous one for you and your families. We'll be right here on Monday, same time, same place here with the Donna Sebo Show. Have an awesome weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.